Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Today's gospel story addresses our innermost being. It is the story of sinful man and Almighty God, unbelief and faith, fear and consolation. And the story itself is remarkable. Jesus is walking on water, but so is Peter, at least for a while. Peter walked on water and came to Jesus, but then he became afraid and began to sink. The parish where I serve in Siberia was organized in the beginning of the 1990s. The first gathering of believers took place when the Soviet Union was still around. Early on, we had different kind of people coming to the services. Some of them were quite strange. One of those young people claimed he had so strong faith that he could walk on water. So we took him up on his word and went with him to the beach, which was about 30-minute walk from our place of worship. It was October, and in Siberia it is already somewhat cold in October. So we were considerate and took a towel with us, just in case. And sure enough, when this guy entered the water, he began to sink. Laws of physics. Simple stuff, right? He was then afraid and very discouraged. There are times when in our life it seems that we can do about anything. There are other times when even the steeples are falling. God is with us, nevertheless, as his baptized children in our happiest moments and when we are in distress. The gospel text clearly shows us who this God is. He comes to us in the humble figure of Jesus. While the crowds followed Jesus and he spoke to them, some special teachings and manifestations of Jesus were reserved for the disciples, his inner circle. And still at other times he stayed alone, going to the mountain to pray. That Jesus, as a man, had very special and intimate relationship with his heavenly Father is demonstrated in that prayer. Mountain was a place associated with divine presence. In the Gospel, Jesus already said his foundational sermon on the Mount. Later on, there would be transfiguration on the very high mountain, and of course, the Great Commission. But today Jesus is on the mountain alone and he prays. He exemplifies what it means to be the Son of God, what it means to be obedient, loving Son who has come to fulfill the law and the prophets. Meanwhile, the disciples were in the sea. Sea is the opposite of the mountain. Jews were not a nation of sailors. They were afraid of the sea. And even experienced fishermen had a hard time coping with the power of water. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. While mountains were associated with divine presence, sea was associated with demonic activity. This is a place where Leviathan dwells. By itself, sea is one of God's creations. But for many people, it evokes natural fears, terrors of conscience. Drowning and suffocating is one of the types of death that people have nightmares about. Just remember some pleas in the Psalms or a prayer of Jonah from the belly of a large fish. So when disciples saw Jesus walking on the sea, no wonder that they were terrified. They mistook him as a ghost. God appears under the opposite, as Luther said. Disciples thought, amidst their natural fear, that it was a ghost, perhaps even a demon. They did not think it was man. Men do not walk on water. A ghost would not have physical body, so that would not matter. But a man... What do we see in this story? The one who could walk on water in his flesh is none other than God himself, Yahweh, the Lord incarnate. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. It is I. I am." Jesus is true revelation of God. And he comes to his disciples so they would not be afraid. Likewise, we are not to be afraid of the death and the devil. Jesus is stronger. He overcomes the power of the sea and wind. He calms down storms of our life. What's more, what is very beautiful in this gospel story is that he works to make us like himself. God became like us so that we may become like him. Sin has corrupted our human nature, but the holy and divine Son of God made it shine once again in his very body. So Peter walks on water just as Jesus walks on water, at least for a while. This is a glimpse we get into the glorious life to come. In this life, we are troubled by afflictions, by our inadequacies. We are saddened by the loss of our loved ones. But sometimes in life, there are such special moments when it just comes together, when things work out right. We cannot physically walk on water according to our wishes, just as we can't make the mountain move from place to place by our words. We are limited human beings, fragile, imperfect. But Jesus comes to us as the perfect one. He demonstrates his perfection through his body that also seemed feeble. Body that was wounded for our transgressions, that was nailed to the cross, so that God himself died in the body that he took for us and our salvation. But Jesus triumphed over death. He came back to life to make us alive, to make us complete, whole. With him, everything is possible. And so he meets us at the church in the preaching of his holy word and administration of his precious sacraments. Like Peter, we often sink and we are afraid. Together with Peter, we then cry out, "Lord, save me." And you know what? Our God loves to hear these words. "Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy. Kyrie eleison." This is our liturgical prayer, and this is our personal prayer. Peter had little faith, and we likewise have little faith. But the great news is that even infinitely little faith grasps Jesus and his word of promise and comfort. This is really where size does not matter as far as salvation is concerned. Any amount of faith would do. "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." We cry out to Jesus for salvation, for mercy, and he brings us to the boat where he is. It is not random that since the early times, a picture of Jesus in the boat with his disciples was used by Christians as representation of the church. We find such depictions in ancient catacombs, on Roman sarcophagi, in early Christian mosaic. We are in the church with Jesus as part of his body. We are together with him and with each other. This is a very beautiful picture. My wife and I come from Western and Central Siberia, while you live here in the state of Wisconsin. We are separated by 12 time zones. This is literally the other side of the earth. But we are in the same boat, with Jesus being our captain. Every time we participate in the Holy Liturgy with angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven, we declare and confess to the heavenly realm, to people on earth and to the powers and principalities of the netherworld, that we are one with Christ and He is one with us. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. And we worship Him, and just like the original disciples, we boldly proclaim, truly you are the Son of God. To Him alone be all glory, honor, and worship. Amen.
Amen.